While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood. I'm gonna kill you.
Welcome to Friday the 13th, the freakiest Friday of all, where we tell your odd but true stories. How are you this Friday the 13th?
Happy Friday 13th to everyone who celebrates.
And if you're celebrating privately, we understand.
You know what? If you need to take the day off, I think it's justified.
This is your pass. Like, hang on, let me stop. Hi, the person I'm calling for just needs the day off for a personal holiday. Just don't ask questions. I'm an attorney. Thank you. Now take that part. Play that for whoever you want in your life and don't give any context. It's fine. Yep. Beep. Just take the day and enjoy it.
For personal reasons.
Yes.
Shuts it down because you can't follow up with that.
Yes.
Like, what's going on? You're like, it's personal.
That's right. I told you that the author E.B. White declined something by saying, I cannot participate for secret reasons. And I will start saying that. I will not be able to make it for secret reasons. We're hoping your secret reasons are giving you a wonderful Friday the 13th. What a spooky day for us all. And we're coming up on this month's full moon. It's the corn moon that's on the 17th. So it's a spooky, we're moving into the spookiest part of the month, I think.
It's getting good. The weather's dropping.
Ooh-hoo.
We're about to be in an even cooler place on the 17th, along with the corn moon.
That's
not only will the corn moon be full out on September 17th, but so will we in San Diego, because we are doing our full moon energy show there. And
watch us.
We're also going to try to see some whales.
Hopefully. If you have the hot, the insight info on where we can see the most whales, send us an email because we're trying to see some whales. But if you
probably show the middle of the ocean, but
yeah,
the
coastal part. I'm talking about coastal,
or even I don't know. I was going to say a boat, but I struggle in the car, so I don't know that a boat on the Pacific Ocean is a good idea.
Just dive on in, not to the ocean. I mean, to the experience of the boat. Don't dive into the ocean. But if you are in San Diego and you want to see us rise with the corn moon on September 17th, you'll see us talking about that very moon. It is our full moon energy tour where you hear all about the darker side of the moon, what it does to us, what lurks up there, and what people really think happened during the Apollo missions. It's all the best, spookiest stuff from the podcast, whether it's cryptids, true crime, all kinds of historical mystery and witchy things about the moon that we're bringing to San Diego on September 17th, Phoenix on September 18th, Las Vegas September 19th, and then we're finishing it out with the Hunter's Full Moon October 17th in our hometown of Dallas. So head over to sinisterhood.com/live shows and come and watch worship the moon with us. Full moon energy.
Well, are you ready to get into our freaky Friday the 13th lineup?
Friday the 13th lineup. Yes, you have curated, as always, a wonderful lineup. And as always, our listeners have not disappointed today. So thank you, everybody who sent these in.
Thank you so much. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Al's mom, and it is called, "This is why you don't leave Bubba Gump's Shrimp Company." "Dear Sinisterhood, I adore the podcast. You, Sinisterhood, fill my days with so much information, laughs, and sometimes terror. In high school, for some absurd reason, I was in our school's select chorus. If this makes you think, ah, she must sing well, you are mistaken. I was also mistaken. This is not a chorus I should have been a part of, but nonetheless, I was. My participation in this group was the very reason I got to experience, without any great harm to my person, a failed car bombing. So we, the select chorus from bumfuck middle of nowhere in upstate New York, above where Albany is, like basically Canada, are in Times Square. It's a lot for my small town I'd rather be in the woods self. It's May 1st, 2010. No, I do not remember the date. I had to Google it. If you had asked me, I would have said it was August or some shit because it was so fucking hot. We were leaving Bubba Gump Shrimp Co. I thought that place was fucking awesome. They had cups that stacked with liquid in them. There were so many people in Times Square, and as someone who hates crowds, I was not having the time of my life. So we were making our way across Times Square. I don't recall to where. I do remember that we were in a hurry, but I don't remember why. Suddenly, there was a massive pop, or poof-tsh. I figured it was some street performer or car backfiring or misplaced firework. You know, the usual noises you would expect in such an overcrowded place. But all around me, people started running. My friend that I was walking with and I also started running. We just followed the crowd without questioning it. If everyone around us was freaking out and running, well, then I guess so were we. There was chaos around us. People were falling. People were yelling. We kept running faster and faster. I lost sight of the other chorus members that were in front of us for a minute. Panic rose in my chest. Then I spotted them again when I noticed one of them trip. I was worried they would go under, but they caught themselves and kept running. My thoughts were running with me. What the hell was that? Why is everyone running? What are we running from? Where are we running to? Where are the chaperones? Is it a gang shooting? And then just a bunch of thoughtless panic as we kept running. Eventually, we turned into an alley and made calls to get everyone else from the chorus together. No one knew what had happened. We were all a little freaked out, all sharing our versions of what had happened. My friends and I noticed that one of our friends was missing. So we started calling him and freaking out even more. My chorus teacher stepped in and asked us, "Where's John?" John was not with us. We could not remember when we had last seen him, except that it had been at Bubba Gump's. This definitely made us panic even more. You might ask what was going through my head then, and the answer is literally all the worst thoughts. Did John get shot? Did John get run over? Did John get kidnapped in the madness? Was he lost in the endless streets of New York City? Did a rat king rise from the sewers and consume him? A few minutes later, John came strolling up to us, looking only a little perplexed, but otherwise fine, and asked us, "What's up?" Or something to that effect. I don't remember exactly. I just remember being annoyed and panicked and relieved. What's up? This mofo had just vanished in a stampede of unknown origin and was just all chill-like asking us what happened. Turns out John had gone to the bathroom at Bubba Gump's and just not fucking told anyone. So this fucker was still at the restaurant taking a piss. Later, when we had settled and this was just a weird bump in our day during the trip, we learned that this was a failed car bomb. The pop we'd heard before all the running was the bomb going off. Thankfully, the bomb failed to actually go off. I hate to think what the memory would be if it hadn't. My heart was racing and my skin was crawling, just remembering it as it was. And it's funny that I remember this happening during the day, but according to news articles, it happened in the evening. It's only when I tell other people, especially people outside the U.S., about this, that I realize how unusual the experience is. It could have been so much worse. I'm very glad the bomb failed to go off. I hope you know that I spent an hour trying to find the news article and video from a neighboring school district that also happened to be in New York City for a trip from this day. And I just fucking cannot find it. I'm so mad. Instead, I have included a photo of me with Corbin Blue from after we watched In the Heights as proof that I was in NYC on this day. Yes, I had the worst haircut for a 17-year-old, and it's a dreadful photo. May the moon be with you, Owl's mom.
Well, Owl's mom, first of all, what's up, Owl's mom? We just actually covered one of your hot takes on our most recent Patreon bonus content on Unpopular Opinion. So
we
thank you. Absolutely not annoyed by you, Sinister Finn. We love it. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. And your sprinkles on the ice cream cone hot take has garnered responses for
it
sure.
Has. There's people are debating. And, and also, it's interesting, depending on where you grew up, what you call them.
Yes, the name of the sprinkles. So, yes, so it's good to hear from you again. I am so glad this was not worse. This was the, for folks who were around the time, maybe you remember or not, this was when the member of the Pakistani Taliban tried to detonate a Nissan Pathfinder in the middle of Times Square with this, like, explosive device. He had been trained a few months earlier by other Taliban members on how to make. And they even, like, the FBI has pictures of the little, like, children's alarm clocks that were part of it. It's so eerie to see those pieces of what could have been their intent, which was to kill as many people as possible. Luckily, it misfired. It didn't go off. He was found at JFK trying to flee the country a couple days later and sentenced to life in prison, serving life sentence in federal prison. But that, as a teenager, like, that's, this is one just example of the millions of lives that are just whooshing by this Nissan Pathfinder parked, not knowing what is lurking in it and what could happen if he, you know, was better trained or had more time or whatever it was.
It's hard to play the what if game in things like this because, you know, no one wants to think of what the alternative would have been. I'm very glad Al's mom, as well as everyone that was in Times Square that day, that this did not happen. But like you said, everyone's just living their life, and some people are doing stuff like that at any given time.
Yeah, so just taking a,
always be alert.
Right, taking a bathroom break at the Bubba Gump, and your whole class leaves without you, and then you come out to just fucking pandemonium. You're like, where'd everybody go? Like, every one of us, by the way, has one of those kids in our group, the whether it's your class or your after school group, like choir or theater. There's always that one kid where you're like, where's Josh? Where's Matt? Where's Tyler? And they're always like, what? And you're like, you just missed it, man. There was a car bombing. It's like, oh, my bad. Sorry. Damn it, John.
But, damn it, John.
But in the end, I'm glad you got to meet Corbin Blue and have a wonderful, and you scammed your way into chorus. Good for you. You got a trip to Bubblegum Shrimp Company out of it. So good job. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn. The podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, this next one is from your daughter, Anonymous, and she says, hi, Mama Heather.
Hello, sweetheart.
And the subject line is, my fourth grade teacher tried recruiting me into her cult. Hi, ladies. I freaking love the pod. The stories, compassion, humor, it's all amazing. So, on to my story. I'm not using names in this story, but I've kept the locations the same. My family moved around a lot when I was a child, but I spent a large portion of my childhood in a very small community in Northern California. It was an awesome place to be a kid. Bike riding, playing in the creek, picking blackberries, catching tadpoles. Unfortunately, because this location was so small and rural, the local schools often had trouble attracting and keeping competent teachers. So my siblings and I had some weird teachers sprinkled throughout elementary and middle school. When I was in fourth grade, I was placed in a classroom with a teacher who was new to the school but had previously worked in the district. She was very intense, but a good teacher, and once I got my feet under me, I made some amazing academic progress. I felt like we fit together, and that she saw something special in me, which is what every kid wants, right? My mom worked at the school as well, and they got to know each other, getting along very well. We were even the only family from her classroom to be invited to a community dinner in her town. I remember it was so fun. We had dinner with a large group of people, and then all the kids went outside to play. I remember having a great time until my parents showed up and told us to get your butts in the car now. Huh? Well, okay. Nothing was discussed about that dinner, and it never struck me as odd because we participated in a lot of community dinners with the local Rotary Club. So why was this any different? My relationship with this teacher took a weird turn the following year. She had moved up to fifth grade and had most of the same students for a second year in a row. At the time, I remember feeling a little uncomfortable with how close she was to those of us who had been in her class the year prior. Nothing untoward, but definitely not professional. The year went by okay until the last few months. She started telling me that my schoolwork was no longer, quote, up to par, and I was, quote, slipping. I honestly didn't understand what she meant, but I knew it was bad. Unfortunately, I was the ultimate people pleaser as a child and started to work as hard as possible to get back in her good graces, with no results. Another assignment, another I'm disappointed type note on my paper. There's much more, but to sum it up, she made it clear that trying my best was not good enough and I should be ashamed of not fulfilling my potential. I finally started to crack under the pressure when she called my home to tell my parents how I was slipping. My mom asked me what was going on, and when it all came out, her advice was to finish out the year with any kind of grades and that I would never have to deal with this teacher again. Looking back, it might be tempting to think that my mom should have gone to the school and ripped this lady a new one, but this was the early 90s, and this teacher wasn't technically doing anything wrong. I finished out the school year, and she continued to make comments about my poor performance and how my work, quote, wasn't nearly what it could be. But after I got the okay from my mom to just skate by, I fucking skated, happy to leave this teacher in fifth grade. A few months later, my mom heard through the grapevine that this particular teacher had requested to move up to sixth grade. My mom went right down to the school and demanded that I be placed in a different class, which I was. A few days later, we got a phone call at our home. This teacher had heard that I was placed with a different teacher and did her own demanding that my mom agree to place me in her class. She actually told my mom, you know, I only moved to six so I could continue being Anonymous's teacher, which may or may not have been true, but my mom just replied that that was exactly why I was not going to be in her classroom. The final push came when this teacher got in touch with other parents and asked them to reach out to my parents to pressure them to move me to her class. The prevailing attitude seemed to be, she thinks your daughter is special and she's such a great teacher. How is that bad? Fortunately, my parents thought that was bonkers and didn't relent. My childhood was far from ideal, but my parents really had no problem telling people where to go if they thought one of their kids might be unsafe, physically or psychologically. Also, my mom was someone who had the perspective that the only children that she could barely tolerate were her own. So any adult taking special interest in children who weren't theirs was always a huge red flag. A few years later, my family moved to a new state, and memories of elementary school and this teacher slowly faded. Fast forward about 25 years. I was listening to a podcast about a young man who grew up in the Bubba Free John cult. My jaw dropped when he mentioned moving to Cobb Mountain to be closer to the cult headquarters. The town I grew up in was right next to Cobb, and many kids and adults came down the mountain to attend or work at the local schools. I was not able to ask my mom about any of this because she had passed away a few years prior. She was a wonderful person and mom, and I miss her every day. I was, however, able to ask my dad and sister about the cult the next time we got together for the holidays. Oh my goodness, did you guys know that when we lived in Middletown, there was a cult right up on Cobb? I asked them. They both stared at me, dumbfounded. Finally, my sister replied in typical older sister fashion. Wait, you didn't know that? She said. No, I was a kid. Why the hell would I know about a cult? I replied. Oh yeah, the Bubbas, Dad said while laughing. We loved hiring them at his place of work. They were all overqualified and only wanted part-time hours since they had to spend so much time at the cult. Yeah, you don't remember? My sister asked. We went to their compound. What? I exclaimed. My sister continued. That weird teacher you had? She convinced Mom it was a fundraiser, and so we went to their compound for dinner one night. My dad chimed in. Oh, yeah. They gave us a hard sell. Bunch of weirdos. Who wants a beer? Well, me, obviously, I said. And that is how my fourth grade teacher tried to recruit my family into her cult. Believe it or not, that is not the weirdest thing to happen during my childhood. I've included some links about this particular cult, and I want to thank you for reading my story, even if it doesn't make it on the pod. Just writing this out has been very therapeutic. What I initially thought was a funny cult story ended up being a bit darker when I realized that any adult messing with a kid's head is not okay. Much love to you both. Keep fighting the good fight.
Wow, my darling Anonymous. First of all, good on your parents for being like, oh, we're being sold a cult. We're leaving. Children, stop playing basketball. Drop the soccer ball. We're out of here.
Get in the car now.
Get in the car. But you're right, Anonymous. It is more than just, oh, well, it's some parents of a student. It's like, I'm going to manipulate this student by gaslighting her that she's not good at schoolwork. First of all, love bombing you and then turning it around and being withholding when your parents aren't agreeing to like join this cult. My theory is that she was going to say, oh, Anonymous is struggling in school because you all are, you need this spiritual divine training and I can show you the exact path. And this would really help your daughter because, you know, she's doing bad in school.
Could be.
And I was like, because I was like, why are you trying to mess with this kid to get to the parents? But it's like the parents turned him down on the initial sale. So it's like, well, now I got to manipulate them to join. So
imagine calling another person's, another student's parent and being like, you really need to move your kid to XYZ's class. Whose business is that? That's insane.
Also, the audacity that the teacher had to call the family and be like, you took her out of my class. I want her. It's like, that's, well, at least we know you're weirdly fixated. Yeah, on our daughter. Well, it's the Adi Dal cult, ADI/DA. And it used to be called Bubba Free John. And then the guy who created it changed his name multiple times because he's a cult leader and it's all made up. So his new name or his most recent last name that he used is ADI/DA. And investigative reports, you know, have revealed some ex-members said that he forced members to engage in psychologically, sexually, and physically abusive and humiliating behavior and committed a bunch of tax fraud. So exactly the type of
place. Sounds on brand for a cult.
Yeah, you're like, oh, these hamburgers? No thanks. We're leaving. good for your parents for sure.
Yeah. And hopefully that school double checks their teachers, vets them a little more before –
good
just
Lord.
Letting anybody take. But I guess, like she said, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, kind of, you kind of have to take, like, who's going to come live there?
Willing to be a rural teacher. And she's like, I would love to live near the headquarters. Like, of what? Nothing. I just meant the mountain.
Mountain.
And you're like, Cobb Mountain awaits us. That's wild. But you made it out. Good on you.
Northern California is a place unto its own.
They got
There's
all
a
kinds.
Lot of shit that goes on up there. Like, you think of Northern California and everyone's like, oh, it's beautiful. And it is.
Yes,
but also, there's like a lot of – how many things have we covered now that have
Every
happened
time.
Up there?
Yeah, it's much like Hawaii. We're like, could you stop going to Northern California? They've got enough problems with Murder Mountain. They don't need you fucking – what's the guy in the overalls? Chuck Dieterich. We don't need you to move your Synanon to our lovely Marin County and also this guy too. It's like, we're full up on cults here. Please stop showing up.
Yeah, we're – in fact, we're overflowing, so if you could take it down the road, it would be much appreciated.
All booked up. Well, thank you, my darling Anonymous.
Yes, thank you.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This next one is from Kristen, and it's called 2016 Creepy Clown Experience, kind of. I'm a new listener, and I'm catching up on 2024's episodes. I just listened to episode 299, and the clown segment jogged my memory of an incident in 2016. In 2016, I was working at a rural high school as a school counselor. When you work in education, you do keep up with popular trends and social media stunts because teens are teens and will inevitably try something during a school day. Years after this, we had to shut down all the boys' bathrooms except one due to a TikTok trend of destroying school bathrooms. So we knew all about the clowns in the woods stunts that people were concerned about in the media and were on the lookout for students deciding this would be a fun prank to pull. One day, we were randomly put on lockdown, and it was not a drill. The lockdown announcement was to lock all doors and close window shades with the lights off, no one allowed in the hallways. It was about 15 minutes before the all clear was given, and we found out what happened. A teacher on a lower level saw a man without a staff ID walking around in a clown t-shirt. That teacher called the office, and we were put on lockdown while administration checked the cameras and searched for him, as this person had not signed into the front office before wandering the hallways. Turns out, it was a dad picking up his kid from the nurse's office, and he got lost on his way there. He had not signed in, and we guessed a student had let him through a side door. The timing of a random person being in our building in a clown t-shirt was something we ended up laughing about later. But it definitely had everyone on edge that day. It's the only time I've been in a lockdown situation for an unknown person being in the building in the 10 years I've been in education, and it is so fear-inducing when you don't know what is going on. I'm so thankful that situation was more silly than harmful, and no, it could have been so much worse. Anyway, that is my close encounter with the creepy clowns of 2016. Glad it wasn't more spooky than a lost parent trying to pick up his sick kid.
I just imagine this dad going home to the other parent. It's like, hey, babe, how'd it go picking up little Kristen at school? And it's like,
well, the school was, there was an incident. I was lost. And she's like, it's because you're wearing that fucking clown shirt.
He's like, I want to know what? So bad what clown is on this shirt.
Is it Pennywise?
Oh, man, maybe.
Is it Bozo? Is it like a fun, like the punching?
ICP?
Oh, yeah.
The clowns.
Yeah, our clowns.
Whatever clown it was enough to send someone into orbit. And the thought of this father having to tell people later when they're like, why was school shut down? We couldn't pick up our kids. Well, I caused a lockdown because I was wearing my Pennywise shirt.
Listen, I just had it on and I got the call that she was sick. I ran up there. In retrospect, I wish I would have changed. I think we would have really solved a lot of problems if I would have changed clothes.
I go through this quite a bit where I have to go up to Ellis School and I look down and I'm like, nope, going to change because this is a shirt that I can't wear around children.
The Nain Rouge, the demon of Detroit. And they're like, who's that? And you're like, I've got some information about the Nain Rouge for you. Oh, man. Well, yeah, don't be causing no lockdowns. It sounds like this is very bad timing, but you're right. I am very glad, very, very glad it was not worse. Any, Kristen, any lockdowns, any of that, all of our friends that are teachers who've described that for us and kids we know that have gone through it and I'm sure are about to go through it, it is horrible.
Yeah, Ella had to do a whole week of drills the second week of school, and one of them was full lockdown, and that is the world we live in. I believe we've had 4 school shootings in the past month.
Since the school year started. And yeah. I feel so, so bad for the kids nowadays because we didn't have that. You know, we had a little bit of if there's a tornado or if there's a strange person and stuff. But the idea of thinking strategically about furniture and how and where to hide yourself. I think you got to look at what the laws were when I was in high school and grade school and just match them because it seems like maybe that would work. About what was going on because something's changed clearly because none of that happened when I was little. And there's only a couple things that would have changed.
I remember tornado drills.
Yeah.
In like middle school and elementary school. I don't even really remember those in high school. I think we had fire drills.
Yeah.
And everyone would just be like, okay. Yeah. Actually, you were kind of happy because you're like, oh, we get to get out of class and go stand outside for a little bit.
Fire drill during a test. So good. School shooting drill in the first week of school. Disruptive to learning, in my opinion. So two different things there. But I'm very glad that it was only a creepy clown shirt and not a creepy clown in the flesh.
Oh, man. If a creepy clown is walking around your school, I think that qualifies as lockdown. At least as an unknown stranger in the school.
He's like,
I was called for the pre-K class. I'm going over there to do a whole bit. And you're like, well, you didn't sign in.
Should have told us that. He's like, you gotta sign in. Being nice to friends. And you're like, put your hands on the cruiser, clown. You got to get an ID badge. Oh, man. Yeah, don't let any creepy clowns in your school, for sure. Mm-mm. In that case, leave the school. It's the clown school now. Well, this next one is from Sarah, and the subject line is, "The day I accidentally stopped a bank robbery." Howdy from the northeastern mountains of Tennessee, ladies. I've consumed almost nothing but your podcast since June of this year, and I'm finally caught up between present day episodes. I've laughed so much at your hilarious banter and cannot describe how badly I want a Dolly Ween meetup to actually happen. We're doing it. We got to do it. We got to call Morgan and Taylor. I've racked my brain.
Yeah, we got to get everybody together. We got to go to Dolly Ween.
We got to do it. Sarah continues. I've racked my brain for months wishing I had a story to share for Freaky Friday, thinking I had nothing, until your episode with Brandy and Kristen of Let's Go to Court, where Brandy told about how she politely confronted a home invader. I've got a similar tale to tell. Now that that's all out of the way, let's get into it. In 2018, I made a career shift from office work in higher education to working as a teller in a local bank. I knew absolutely nothing about the ins and outs of banking, but I consider myself a pretty quick learner, and I am most definitely good at following rules and instructions. One day, right before we locked the doors, a man walked into the lobby. He was extremely sweaty. His eyes were bugging out of his head, and he had a backpack and large duffel bag with him. Are your alarm bells ringing? Well, mine weren't. Since it was closing time, one coworker was outside tidying up the lobby, and one was closing up the money stuff in back in the vault area, leaving me as the only one at a register. "Hi there, how can I help you?" I asked the man. I definitely thought he was weird, but kind of wasn't fazed by it. Turns out lots of weird people pass through banks. Yeah, you know me, right? You know me?" the man said in a weird tone, like someone who's trying to play it cool when things are definitely not cool. "Nope, I sure don't, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm new. What can I do for you?" I replied with a smile. The exchange continued something like this. "Man, new, huh? Yeah, well, I'm gonna need you to give me some money, okay?" Nothing out of the ordinary to me. It is a bank, after all. Me. "No problem. Do you have a check to cash?" The man. "What? No, I just need you to give me some money. Got it?" Still no alarm bells for me. Me. Right. I'm sorry. Can I see your driver's license?" The man. Yeah, whatever. Here." The man handed me his license, but when I looked up his name, nothing came up. And would you believe it, I was still not grasping the situation at all. In my sweetest and most genuine customer service voice, I said, "Well, it doesn't look like you're in our system, so if you don't have a check to cash or an account here, I'm afraid there's not a way for me to give you any money." And since rules are rules, I handed the silly man back his driver's license. He was very confused and obviously caught off guard, but he said, "Okay, all right, I see how it is, I see." He picked up his bags and slowly backed all the way back to the door before turning and absolutely bolting down the sidewalk and eventually out of sight. A man who worked in our back offices came running up the hall and said, "Did I just overhear y'all get robbed?" The teller that had been in the lobby the whole time was like, "No, but I sure thought we were about to." At that moment, it finally clicked. I said, wait, he did ask me to give him money without having a check to cash or an account multiple times. Myself and the two other tellers that witnessed the interaction looked at each other and simultaneously said, oh my God. I made a very frantic call about the situation to our security officer, who chuckled at the fact that I customer serviced a would-be robber into handing me his license and politely told him I couldn't help him that day. They tried to track the man down, but I'm not sure if anything came of it. I wish I could remember his name from looking at his license, but my millennial brain fails me. I'm now a branch manager, and when I go over the actual procedures we should follow in the event of a robbery, I love to use this story to remind everyone that sometimes good customer service goes a long way. I hope you add Tennessee to your tour date sometime soon, and I'll be sure to save y'all a spot on the Tennessee Tornado at Dollyween. Thanks for everything you do, and keep it creepy.
This is so funny. I had myself muted, or everyone would have heard me dying, because this is like, and I think you should leave sketch
it really
that
is.
Came true.
Yes. Like, to just be like, do you have an account? And it's like,
what? I don't know. Maybe.
But he handed his driver's license.
Let me just get your driver's license.
Oh, she almost had him opening up a savings account. If he hadn't bolted, yeah. She may have.
Like, you don't currently have an account with us. We're offering $200 for new account openings with a $2,000 deposit. Will you be doing that today?
0% APR. And he's like, what? Where's the girl that's normally here?
Yeah, he's like, wait a minute. Y'all are well-trained, but in the wrong stuff. You're just like really well-trained at customer service. He's like, I've never been helped this much in my life. I got to get out of here. But that is incredible.
This is a good example of how when you don't understand the severity of a situation, it can often work in your favor
really
because
does.
The fear isn't there and you're just like, whatever. And then they're like so caught off guard. They're like, she's crazier than I am. I got to get out of here.
Say, it's almost like, you know, he has a certain expectation and your subversion of that expectation is like, this bank is weird. I'm going. Like, I wanted you to cry and scream and be afraid. Uh-huh. And you are very friendly and chipper. And she's just like, yeah, have a great day. Hope to see you again soon, Mr. Smith. It was nice to meet you. And he's like,
grab a
man.
Mint on your way out.
Yeah. We have some suckers by the door. I love this, Sarah. First of all, I'm just glad you're safe and nothing happened.
Right.
But that is very reminiscent of Brandy's Home Invader story.
Oh,
when she's
yeah.
like, may I help you? There's just someone had like broken into her garage. Incredible. That's that kindness.
Yeah.
That's,
it takes them off guard.
It really does. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're safe, Sarah. And we, this is our reminder that we got to holler at Morgan and Taylor from Creeps and Crimes. They will absolutely be, I'm sure, in down to clown, in it to win it. You know, whenever we want to go, it's just on us getting our schedule right. But yeah, mm-hmm. If y'all don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to the episode where Morgan and Taylor guested on a Freaky Friday episode. It was a super fun one. Mm-hmm. And we made our Dollyween plans.
We did. We still got a group chat about it.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to bump it later
we're
tonight.
Revive the Dollyween group chat. Well, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This next one is from Cassidy, and the subject line is Freaky Friday 97, Mountain Lion Encounters. Hi, ladies. My name is Cassidy, and I had to chime in about Freaky Friday episode 97, specifically the Arkansas Werepanther story. I live in Missouri, and similar to Arkansas, our Department of Natural Resources denies the existence of panthers and large cats. However, this is false. Living in a rural area has its ups and downs. Being able to have large animals like horses, pretty nice. Having said horses stalked in the night by a large cat, bad. It was 2005, and our poor, sweet neighbor Jane had a few horses on her and her husband's 19-acre farm here in southern Missouri. Got a shout-out to my little hometown, St. Clair. Jane was very careful with her horses, as we were plagued by coyotes for a while. One night, her husband Jim was out later than usual, rounding up the horses, when he heard a blood-curdling cry come from the woods that surrounded their home. And it was close. He quickly got the horses settled into the barn, and once in the house, asked Jane to join him on the deck to see if she could hear it too. Unfortunately, she didn't hear a thing, and they stood outside for a while before going inside. It wasn't until the next day when they told my parents about it, as our dogs had been attacked by coyotes. We all liked to make sure each other's were safe. Jim decided to set up a game camera, and after a few weeks, he captured a picture of some light-colored furry feline shoulders and the tip of a black tail. We were all dumbfounded. We tried to get the conservation department to investigate, but they repeated that,
"We conclude that the existence of panthers and other large cats in Missouri is impossible. Must have been a big house cat instead."
Be so fucking for real. Okay, it's now 2022. My boyfriend and I were hiking at a very popular and beautiful park called Washington State Park, still in Missouri. We hike here often and without incident. We're both very cautious in the woods, as even in Missouri, getting lost, hurt, or attacked is always a possibility. We both spend a lot of time in the woods and usually will carry a firearm for protection, except this one time. My sweetheart of gold boyfriend Keegan forgot it at home. No worries, we both said, and decided to continue with our hike. Besides, we were hiking our favorite route. What could go wrong? What could go wrong, you ask? Well, we got about halfway through our six-ish miles and decide to stop at the scenic overlook. On one side, a gorgeous cliff is made up of huge boulders jutting out of the earth, some split by trees growing through the cracks. On the other side of us, a stone gazebo and a small bench. Behind the bench is the main road going through the center of the park. As we took our seats, back to the street and feet dangling over the edge, we saw a small trail leading from where we were to below us on the cliffside. Keegan and I both glanced at each other, and without saying a word, we agreed we needed to see where it went. We got up, my little cattle dog Aurora following closely, and made our way down the path until we reached the face of the cliff. This is when we started looking around. First, I saw a game camera about 20 to 30 feet up in a tree facing down the wall. Then I turned to see that it was pointed at the opening of a seemingly shallow yet large cave, graffiti splattering its way across the gray stone walls. It was really dark in there as it was still about 10 a.m. and the sun was no help. We had only walked a few feet in the 20-foot opening when my eyes adjusted and I saw it. I blinked. In front of us was a large stack of boulders that I'm guessing fell from the ceiling a long time ago. And at the top lay a large, black, big cat. It sat there, perched, stretched out, looking like one of those big, realistic stuffed animals popular in the 90s or 2000s, if you know, you know. I whispered to Keegan and asked, "Do you see that?" "Yeah," he said back, as scared as I was. I became really aware of the barking problem my dog has when she sees wild animals, how between us and the bottom of the cliff was just a meager foot of land, and lastly, how we didn't have a weapon or deterrent. I told Keegan we needed to back the fuck out now. As we were backing out and up the path to the trail, never turning our backs to the cave, I asked Keegan again quietly, "Did you see what I did?" He said nothing, but mumbled a, "Uh-huh." When we got back up to the top of the cliff, grateful to see other hikers now on the trail, we stopped and looked at each other, both wide-eyed. We silently got back in the car, opting to walk on the street rather than the trail. When we got back, we talked about what we had both seen, agreeing it definitely looked like a panther, but both trying to reassure the other that no, this was not a real big cat. It must be a stuffed one the park put in there to deter kids from fires and graffiti in the cave. But didn't I see its tail flick? It was dark in the cave where it was laying, and we can't say for sure whether it was black or tan. It didn't get up or growl, and it didn't chase us. Maybe we were too threatening? I doubt it. We sat in the parking lot for a while, contemplating whether or not to go to the ranger's office. What if it was a real big cat and the trail cam was monitoring the area? Would we be in trouble? Would they have to relocate it? What if it gets relocated and doesn't adjust well and dies? Can you tell that I have anxiety? Keegan and I left the park that day with more questions than answers. After some weeks, I returned and hiked the same trail, this time strapped. I came to where the trail split and the path to the cave appears and decided to go. I calmly walked back down to the path thinking Surely it was a stuffed animal. If the Missouri Department of Natural Resources knew of a big cat and had cameras on it, they wouldn't just allow people to still hike this path without some warning notice like big cat nearby posted. When I got to the opening, I slowly peeked my head around the corner, peering into the cave. It was much later in the day than last time. The sun shone in the darkness of the cave, lighting it up and completely changing the way it had looked before. Still, facing the empty cave, there was no rock formation that could have fooled our eyes into believing it was a cat. I took a picture of the cave, and a little later I posted in a Facebook hiking group that was local to the area with the photo. I got a ton of responses from locals stating they had caught pictures and videos and paw prints, etc. All of the information had been given to the Department of Natural Resources, and they're still denying it. No one could confirm what we saw, but we all knew. I included a picture of the cave with a circle where the cat was and a photo of the stuffed toy that it looked like. So, what do you ladies think? Are big cats in the Ozarks? Did we see a werepanther? Will the DNR ever accept that their animals are migrating? Will I ever get help for my overthinking? Thank you guys for being the awesome people you are.
Well, I am going to go out on a limb and say there are big cats there, and fuck the DNR. Not really. They're great.
But the government.
I mean, sure, they do great stuff, but they're still, like, not taking the people seriously.
It's one thing if you say, as the Department of Natural Resources, our responsibility is to catalog known animals. We don't consider that a known animal, but thank you for the information. We'll take it under advisement. ... But to be like, nuh-uh, when people are like, I have this picture of this panther. They're like, no, you do not. And you're like, but it is. It was there. They're like, AI generated. Did you draw that? And you're like, no, I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. I was like, I can't hear you. La, la, la.
I always think when there are animals in places that they're not native to, that most likely it was somebody's, unfortunately, a pet, or not even a pet, just somebody owned it.
Yeah.
And let it go in the wild. And
yeah.
Now you've got a problem on your hands. But when you have so many people seeing them, and it doesn't seem completely out of the realm. I mean,
No. The
boulders and stuff, it's a place where they would live. It's just maybe not in the same area that they come from. But I could see a cat perched up on this thing having a nice old time in there.
Yeah, I mean, we've all watched Tiger King, and when you see that there is a mullet-having guy in the middle of the country going, I got me a special Himalayan wildebeest, and it came all the way here, and I'm like keeping the cage got out, they got loose, oh no, then it's like, these things happen, or they're either they let them out on purpose because they can't handle them or whatever. It's just like, you can't say unequivocally, you can say, they are not native to this area. Fair enough. But yeah, the DNR can't just be like, they're not here at all and we know it. We would know if there was one here. And it's like, I don't, there are some here and I think you don't know.
Yeah, especially if you have a trail cam.
Yeah.
My theory is they're well aware of it and they do know.
Liability.
But they're trying not to scare the public. I would say that's doing a disservice, because if you're uninformed, you can't equip yourself properly. And also, just be honest, but they're the government, so we can't expect them to do that.
Yeah, I'm like, what in the 1984 is it to be like, no, there aren't. And you're like, but there are panthers there. No, there are not. But I was thinking, well, maybe it's liability if they go, listen, we know there are, you know, whatever, insert big cat name here in this area. And like she said, like Cassidy was like, just put a sign up that's like, be aware, whatever. Because if they do have knowledge of it and then a hiker is attacked, I would argue, just putting it out there for anybody that's attacked by a large cat in one of these areas, sue them and be like, hey, you knew or should have known this. There might be a bunch of pitfalls to that plan, but in my mind, it makes sense. They should be responsible for telling you it's totally safe and there's no big cats, especially in the wake of so much evidence. But that's why we have Facebook hiking groups, like local ones like that, to be like, hey, be aware. No one's making this announcement, but I think other people should know.
Yeah. And then they all agree, like, yeah, I mean,
there is.
Trust the people that are out there walking around all the time. Cassidy also sent a picture of the giant stuffed panther that it could have been.
Honestly,
the DNR could have put this giant, very realistic stuffed panther in there, which is very funny. And I would love for that to be the answer, because I think that's funny. But I don't think there would be a game camera on the little opening. And Also, I don't think that the government has a sense of humor. So no. I don't think that they went in there.
I don't know. Sometimes y'all, I will say y'all got to follow the National Park Service Instagram account. It's so funny. They just did one about the whatever River Gorge, and it's these two park rangers and they look alike and they keep like switching in the video. Anyway, it's very cheeky and funny. But they always do these like quote unquote public service announcements being very cheeky. And I'm like, there are fucking panthers in the woods. Let's focus on them. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
They can walk and chew gum. Y'all be funny, but also don't be lying to people about giant cats out there.
But this, I do remember these from the 90s. Oh, these yeah. huge ass animals. Yes. Like mm-hmm. I remember a tiger very specifically. Yes. And they're, yeah.
Giraffe.
If you just saw that, but I think if we wrote both of those things out and said, what is more likely, that the DNR bought a giant stuffed panther and then put it in a cave and then put a game cam on it, a trail cam, and just thought, well, maybe this will deter children, or an actual big yeah. cat lives there where they would live.
He's like, we got to do something about all this goddamn graffiti. I know it'll get him. You remember when we had those big cat toys? That always scared me as a kid. And you're like, these are 19-year-olds with spray paint. But I freak them out. You never know. I'm going to freak them out. But mm-hmm. well, I appreciate you sharing your adventure with us, Cassidy. Thank you very yes. much. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, this last one is from Bella, and the subject line is the reappearing ring, glitch in the matrix, or a sneaky spirit guide. Hey, ladies, though I have tons of stories I could send in, I had to send this one as soon as I heard the glitch in the matrix story in Freaky Friday, episode 128. For some context, in 2019, I went with my mom, my sister, and my niece to visit family in Alaska. Every time we visit, we go to the Palmer Friday Fling, a market with live music, activities for kids, and tons of local vendors selling all kinds of things. As a certified crystal girly, I naturally spend all my money at the crystal tent. This particular time, I bought a silver ring ordained with a large crystal called a crystal cola. I've never heard of or seen this crystal before, but I instantly gravitated towards its vibrant ocean blues and greens, interspersed with streaks of deep red. The ring fit perfectly on my left thumb, where it remained every single day. The only time I removed the ring was to shower, sleep, or wash dishes. Flash forward a year to the summer of 2020. I was living by myself in an apartment off a main highway just out of town, but tucked away down a quiet side road. One afternoon, I was driving home from work to change and pack my bag to stay at my then boyfriend's house. I was driving down the main highway, probably doing 50 miles an hour. Windows down, music up, smoking a cigarette. I went to flick the ash out the window when I felt the ring slide off my thumb. Heard it ping against the side of my car and disappear into the road. I pulled my hand back into the car, cursing myself for losing my favorite ring. I was close enough to my road when this happened that on my way out to my boyfriend's later that evening, I decided to pull over and look for the ring in an empty lot. I know, it was a long shot, and it proved to be fruitless, but I had to give it a try. I took the L and accepted that my beloved ring was gone, and my thumb would just have to be naked again. Flash forward again a few months. One brisk fall day, I was cleaning my apartment with the windows open, music up, only this time I was smoking special lettuce. As I was cleaning my bathroom, I opened the medicine cabinet to see my silver chrysocolla ring sitting right there. What the fuck, universe? I was so high I almost convinced myself I never lost it in the first place. But I clearly remember flicking my cigarette, feeling the ring slide off my thumb, and hearing it ding the side of my car, that day, just months before. I have no idea how this happened. It still baffles me to this day. I'm now a Reiki practitioner, and I've had my fair share of strange encounters with crystals and metaphysical tools. I've come to believe that significant objects may disappear or break when they've served us in the ways we may have needed them, and show back up in our lives when we need them again. How this happens? I don't know. Perhaps it's fairies, spirit guides, angels, or aliens, but it's one strange world we live in. Thank you, ladies, for all you do. I was newly postpartum the last time you came to New York, but I hope to catch you at a live show around these parts someday or another. What?
I don't have an explanation for this.
Wild.
I would also, if I was super high, try to convince myself, like, did that happen?
That never happened.
This whole thing up? But that's, yeah, I have no explanation except it's fucking wild. And I really like, I'd never thought about, significant objects maybe appear when you need them and then disappear when they've served us. That's a very interesting take on it. So yes, maybe that's what it is. Or maybe it's aliens. Or maybe it's fairies.
Little fairies trying to trick us. No, I do like that theory too. And I, as a person who loses a ton of stuff all the time because of my ADHD, I used to get like super upset and get like pissed off about it. And now, granted, it, like my old glasses, which by the way, Paris found today.
Right when your new ones came in.
Right when my new ones got delivered. But not just things like that. But there have been times when I'm like, oh man, I really wish I had this certain pair of running shoes I can't find or whatever. And then I go to like move a suitcase I haven't moved and they're sitting like under it. And I'm like, yes, I just got back into running. Like those, I don't even have to buy them now. So there's been a few times where I'll just like quietly almost say a little prayer to myself or a little request to the universe that I'm like, it would be really nice if I could find blank. And I would love if I could find, or one day I was like, I knew I had an orange bow and I wanted to put like a rust color, like orange bow in my hair. And I was like, I know I have an orange bow. I wish I could find it. And I just got ready without it. And then when I went to my little vanity where my jewelry is, it was in the middle of my vanity. That's not where that, I haven't worn that bow at all, actually. In fact, it was under my sink the last time I saw it. To be fair, I have ADHD, so I'm the fairy. You know what I mean? But but it was just weird that it was like the day that I was going to wear it and I said I needed it and I just went around the corner and it was just sitting there. So stuff like that, that was in my house. I hadn't lost it. That's a little bit more explicable than the ring fucking fell out of the car. Yeah. I heard it thunk. It was gone. And now it is in front of my face in the medicine cabinet. That's different.
Just like
that's
the earring, magical. The black pearl earring too. I've convinced myself that I can make things appear if I want them bad enough.
Do that. Let's just lean into that. Maybe that's what it is I yearned for the bow and it just popped up on my desk.
Do you know how many times I'll be looking through a purse and I'm like, there's no chapstick in here, but there's gotta be. And then I look again and there it is.
There it is. I think it's like we talked about when we were going on tour and we're always like, isn't it so nice that the flight was on time? Aren't we so happy that the Airbnb was great? Aren't we so happy that check-in went smoothly and they had what we wanted? Like in advance, kind of saying those things. And I've started doing that with parking spaces. And I've been on a parking space roll recently.
Nice.
Like front row everywhere. Even on like when the lake is super crowded and like on a Saturday morning and there's thousands of people, I'm like, there will be a space for me. And then every time there is one, I'm like, thank you, whoever gave me that parking space. Thank you very much. I do not take it for granted.
Yeah. No, I love it. Somewhere there's a bunch of lost jewelry, oranges, onions.
That's right.
All sorts of shit that
someone today
is just floating around like in the beyond.
On the Patreon Facebook group, this somebody today said they dropped an ibuprofen on the ground. They dropped like three ibuprofen on the ground and found two out of the three or something. It was like, there's no cracks under my desk. It was a very confined area. And I know I got three out and now there's only two. And it's like, well, at least it's out somewhere with the onion and the earring.
But you feel like you're going crazy.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. In the moment, it's like,
the universe gaslights us as much as it helps us too.
I'm like, please stop tricking me. I can't take it. I can't. I'm having a bad time.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate when the world gives us a break. So yeah, let's just ask for it. I'm like, I can't take it, man. Please give me a parking spot.
I think the universe can tell when I'm at my breaking point because then like something good will happen. Yeah. Like the other night, I was like having a time and then I was looking for something and then I moved something and I found a check that I'd never deposited and I was score. Yeah. And then like another positive thing happened. I was like, somebody knew I needed this. Yeah. Thank you for the $24.76. I don't want anybody to think that was $2,400. I was just sleeping on
my $24,000 check. No, it was $24. That's the realm we're like playing in here. But I'm not going to turn my nose up. No, $24.
Hello, I was very happy.
That's a week's
my mobile deposit right away. It was very satisfying.
That. Another way I keep from losing my checks is that mobile deposit. Well, if any of y'all listening have had something similar happen where you swear you thought something, you lost it and it popped up later, or have things in your life been being sucked into the abyss, let's all solve it together here on Freaky Friday.
Let's do it, man. Like Bella said, it's a weird universe. It's a weird world. Yes. We don't, who knows anything, really? You know?
Strange place, a lot of smells. That's what Michael Scott said. So, strange place, a lot of smells.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, nobody can say for sure. So, yeah. Anything could be possible.
Anything is possible. Well, thank you so much for letting us share all of your stories on today, the freakiest of Fridays, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, what a good one. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 900 hours of bonus content.
You know what's free?
So much. What?
You know, it's completely free right now and you don't have to, you can just read it publicly, is Tommy Brown's response to our unpopular opinions. We recently did an unpopular opinion segment talking about what to say after people sneeze, different types of sprinkles, and the merits of Stephen King as an author. And for those of you who don't know, Tommy is our resident Stephen King expert, among other expertise areas as well, and just in general literary storytelling kind of expertise, and a very great writer. So if you want to go over to our Patreon, you can join, listen to the unpopular opinion segment, or if you're just like, I want to read some good writing about Stephen King, just go read that because it's really good writing and it costs $0. And we just want to plug that for everybody. But it was inspired by our unpopular opinions.
Yes. No, it's very well written. Like I said, it made me tear up because I don't know why, but even in the comments, like everyone just being so, like it was a very thoughtful response. So
maybe he'll write a response to our love of his response.
We're just going to get into an endless circle. It never ends.
It's a response cycle. But not only do you get Patreon bonus content like Unpopular Opinions and all of those segments, Judge Christie, True Crime Headlines, etc., you also get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content streams. We do monthly mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole entire internet.
You can also join for free for a whole week at any level. Check out the perks. Cancel anytime before the trial is over. You don't get charged, or you're like, man, this is some good shit. I'm going to stick around.
This is dope. But yeah, if you did a join for free, for the week, you could listen to Unpopular Opinions, read the response totally free, and just cancel. And you don't have to pay for anything, but just a plug for that if you want to join for free. But if you stick around, do the annual membership so you also get a month free, because that's, I like a deal. And also head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. We've got a clearance section. And don't forget to check the pinned post on Patreon to get your Patreon merch discount.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to the live show tickets for the full moon energy that we're on the last leg, except for the October Dallas show. But that is, in my mind, a separate thing than legs. The traveling. So, so this is the last leg, but it's a good lineup.
Oh, yeah. We can't wait to we're going to have a nice long desert drive. I feel like, I don't know, I'm romanticizing this desert drive. It's probably just regular highways. I'm like,
I've never been to Phoenix. I'm excited.
I'm like, it's going to be flat desert land with cool cacti. And it's like, no, it's like a place where people live. Like there's houses and gas stations.
Lots of them.
I'm like, no, the Wild West. I think my bubble's going to be burst. But yeah, go to sinisterhood.com/live shows and come get your tickets for those shows before they're gone. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Check out full video versions of our Wednesday episodes ad-free on Patreon and free to everyone on YouTube, as well as clips from the show on TikTok. You can also order a custom video shout-out for yourself or the Sinisterhood fan in your life at cameo.com. Just let us know what message to deliver, what member of the menagerie you want to popple. You want a corn skull. You want a fuck mouth moon in the video. A McGruff. We just did a McGruff recently.
Hey, I got guinea pigs now.
Yeah. So you want to see if you want to meet
your oyster.
Luna and Pearl. We'll have to, we might just stick the camera in there because they're kind of shy, but you can see their habitat over at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Christy, where are you at on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the computer at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.